Coming up on TMS, do we really need a website to tell us how to do that?
Rich man gives his ex-wife the ultimate flip-off.
Florida man stole monkeys.
Of course he did. It's a Wonderful Life too. Electric Boogaloo.
Finally, Bat Kid gets props from the actual Batmen.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You've been using one of the expensive conditioning shampoos. Now you're trying new Suave.
It's the same difference.
Suave's gentle, creamy lather is enriched with protein.
It's the same difference.
Suave conditioning shampoo leaves your hair clean, shiny, and easy to work with.
It's the same difference.
But Suave costs a whole lot less money.
That's not the same difference.
Suave does what theirs does and costs a third less.
That's not the same difference at all.
What in the world are you looking for?
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Strong enough for a man, but made for Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Tuesday, November 19th, 2013. I'm named Scott Johnson. He named Brian Ibbett.
I'm named Brian Ibbett.
Hello. We do show now. You make it go. You are smart. All right.
That's right. You know, and something we, speaking of Scott Fletcher, something we have not mentioned on this show. I think we talked about it on FilmSec, but he is okay with all the tornado action that was in Chicago, in like seven states.
Yeah, it was real bad. Peoria, specifically in Illinois, which is where he lives near or in, had some bad tornado action there and some pretty bad devastation. And I pretty quickly texted him when we heard about it, and he wrote back, "I'm fine. Everyone we know is fine. Now we're just sort of regrouping to find out who can help who and all of that." And yeah, I thought we did talk about it, but you're right. It was FilmSec, which, you know, that audience doesn't care.
Of course they care.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. They're not going to care.
I was listening to an excuse for that.
They're not going to care. They don't care. What? They're going to care.
Oh, Buscemi.
I got shot in the face.
Anyway, so yeah, he's fine. He's good. He's he can yet record another day, and he's got a fantastic little studio set up with like foam, sound dampening foam stuff all over the walls, and looked like quite the little setup for Mr. Fletcher. Pretty excited for him. But welcome back to the show, everybody. It's a TMS, and that means The Morning Stream, and that means we're here to talk to you about stuff. We got guests today. Got Chinbeard. Got Jerry. I hope. I think so. He's tweeting this morning. That's a sign that he's not on a plane someplace. So that should be good. Oh, what was that sound? Did you hear that?
I heard a boop.
Hold on. Ooh, what is that?
What was that?
Well, my daughter has a thing sitting here that I didn't know what it was, and apparently it's electronic. It's a little red ball. See this? Mm-hmm. Your chat room is like a little red knob. Yeah, it looked like a doorknob, but I thought it was just a little rubber toy, and it apparently is electronic in nature. All right, putting that to the side. So, we got an email yesterday that sparked something I wanted to mention this morning.
Okay, all right.
And it's this. So, when the internet rolled out as a thing we all gave two craps about, I would call that like 94, 95. It started to, you could see the spark. You're like, oh, okay, there's things we can do here, right? Mm-hmm. It was going to be this massive. You know, they were referring to it as the information superhighway.
Right.
Which
right.
I hate to hear now. Even my own voice saying it makes me want to stab myself in the eye. The bad eye, because my other eye's all right. And I hated those terms, and I still hate them. But at the time, the promise of it was that you would have this unlimited access to information that you would not normally have access to. And at the time, we were using dial-up modems that ran as fast as 56K was my fastest modem I ever owned, made by U.S. Robotics. Remember those days? They were heady days.
I do remember those. I had one of those.
Yeah. So
many a U.S. Robotics modem.
What got me thinking was how at the time it seemed like, you know, this would be a great boon to society. We'd have access to everything we need. And in many ways, the promise was fulfilled. Okay. In many, many ways it was. But in other ways, I feel like we have gotten lazier because there's so much out there people don't bother to check. So I might write something like, "Man, I'm really enjoying MI5 on Netflix." I might say that, right? Which I am, by the way. It's a great show.
MI5.
It's a British show. kind of came out in 2002, ran up to 2010 or something, and is like it's like 24 in Britain, basically. And it's not it's not set to a clock. It's not like that kind of thing, but it's sort of procedural, but it's super spy agency, and it's done really well. Anyway, gotcha. I quite like it. But I'm watching. So if I tweet that, inevitably somebody writes back, "What's MI5?" Now, they could have just as easily.
They typed it into Twitter.
Yeah.
They could have taken those same fingers and letters
and typed it into Google or even their browser bar, which now pretty much all of them support automatic Google or Bing searches or whatever. So that isn't even so much the problem. That's the lazy problem that comes from it. It's like, oh, it's just too easy just to just not bother, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so much of it. It's like, ah, you know, if there was a, did it again. If there was a Best Buy up the street for me, I'd go there every day. Best Buy opens up the street. You never go.
Right.
Why? Well, because it's just too damn convenient now.
It's just right there. Exactly. I could go there anytime.
Right. We have this giant movie theater now, literally a 30 second to 1 minute drive away from me. The Nerdtacular 2010, 2009, 2009 movie theater there.
Right.
I could say, when we moved in, oh, I'm going to see movies all the time. We're going to, anytime a big deal comes out, or even these smaller movies, Oscar movies, Kim and I can just jump over there for a quick couple hours. We haven't done that yet at all. Not that there hasn't been a bunch of time, but the convenience makes you slow down and go, well, I'll get to it because it's right there. But you sometimes don't get to it. All right, so that's one thing. But the other thing is, the information is full of things we don't need. And I'll give you a piece of example here. Is there anybody listening to my voice right now that doesn't still, to this day, to this moment, that still doesn't know how to wipe their own butt?
You still need, anybody still need a little help with that?
Yeah. Did your parents fail miserably? Did they lock you in a closet and make you feral for your first 15 years of life and then set you loose into modern society and you were like, I don't know what you're talking, what's toilet paper? Is there anybody listening to this? or more importantly, anybody who has access even to the most rudimentary dial-up modem?
Points for Cleo, by the way, for using the three seashells.
Exactly. Nice nerd reference.
Well placed.
Yes. Go see Millennium. No, what's it called? Mega Man. No. What's it called?
Demolition Man.
Jeez. Millennium Man didn't have
Millennium
that
Man. Mega Man.
Wasn't Millennium Man a... That was a... Oh, is it?
I don't know what a Millennium Man is.
No, it was a movie. It was Mork for Mork in it. I can't think of anybody's name today.
Robin Williams?
Robin Williams is in it. He was a robot. A robot is our friend.
I remember that movie. Was it called Millennium Man?
Yeah, I think so. I think. Wasn't it?
Bicentennial Man.
Oh, Bicentennial Man. But he was a robot, right?
He was a robot.
He was a robot.
Robot arms.
Robot uh-huh. arms. All right. Yep. Fine.
The key? Robot arms.
All right. Thanks, V. Anyway, back to my point. So I think we all know how to do it. I think it's not a thing we need to talk about or learn from each other. Nonetheless, according to Jason D, my name is Jason D. He's a rapper. he says that this. He says, Scott, I know you're a fan of sites that only do one thing. So here I present to you howtowipeyourbutt.com. Just in case you ever forget or need some guidance in your wiping. Mildly not safe for work with cartoon butt and pictures 2 and 4. I very much appreciate your radio program. I record it on tape every afternoon during the week, pop it into my cassette player, and take it with me wherever I go. Much thanks, Jason D. Now, I think he's kidding, but I hope it's true. I hope he takes it with him on a tape somewhere. I think that's a fantastic idea.
That is great.
Anyway, howtowipeyourbutt.com reads like this. When it comes to universal human activities, nothing is more overlooked than post-defecation cleanup. But does everyone perform this common behavior the same way? Well, of course not. So surely some techniques are more effective than others. Here you will find a simple method that will keep your anus fresh, clean, and happy every day. All right, that's the promise of this stupid thing. Where's that? Where's that here?
Our anus is a useful thing indeed.
All right.
I still want to think that's Third Eagle. I know it's not.
I know. It's okay to picture
with the musical stylings of Third Eagle, I figure that just fits right there on the Greatest Hits album.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. All right, now I'm going to give you some of these tips, and I just want you to hear them out, all right? How to wipe your butt, step one. And they're being serious here. This isn't a goofball site, other than the term
well,
butt.
Well, it's
a little tongue-in-cheek.
I was going to say, oh, jeez.
Oh, whoops, I didn't mean that
I don't
that
know if
at
I
all.
Would use that phrase.
Let me back that up.
I think that it's presented here in a very matter-of-fact, like, documentation.
Like
kind
the,
of
like
way.
The card on the airplane that tells you how to get your seat out and
how
all
to
that.
Get the door out, you know, and jump out the plane.
Well, listen right. to this language. It says, now you can begin wiping. It is important that you remain seated for the duration of the procedure, as this ensures proper area coverage and meticulous cleansing. Start out with a decent-sized wad of tissue. 3 balled-up squares should be plenty. All right?
Now, it's interesting. Okay, now, you know, we joke about this being something that everybody should know.
Yeah.
However, I still go into the bathroom after, I don't know, maybe a teenager.
Okay. This is all hypothetical, of course.
Occasionally have to plunge the toilet because he has chosen to use half of the toilet paper roll.
Yep.
And I don't want to go into detail. I'm not even going to say it's my teenager. It could be at a friend's house.
Anyone's.
Who knows?
Sure.
But
could be any kid.
Yes. If people would restrict to the 3 squares,
right?
To start,
you'd appreciate that.
I think that's a really good idea. Yes.
All right. Here's my favorite.
And
line.
Also, I'm more of the folder, not the wadded up, balled up. Like they say, 3 balled up squares.
Yeah, I'm not a ball up guy.
Yeah.
Although I did go into a public restroom. I told you about the one where I found a fish, right? There was a big dead fish in it.
And it wasn't the kind of fish you would want to eat.
Nope. Nope. It was a big old, like, I don't know what kind of fish that was, but it was laying just, you know, pointing to the sky, dead in that fish, in that toilet bowl, and I don't know how it got there. Secondly, I came in once to the, not the same public restroom, but a similar one where my dentist is, and there was an entire roll of toilet paper centered and sitting in the middle of the toilet, just sitting in there, all just, soaked with water, nothing else, just a toilet
right,
roll,
right
down, jammed into the hole, kind of, because it was all, you know, when it soaks, it shrinks, so you have this big just wad of thing, and it was one of those bathrooms where that's the only bathroom. Like, well, do I just pee on this monolith to stupidity, or what do I do?
You got to aim down the hole. You got to aim down the tube.
Hey, look at you! You're gamifying my toilet time.
Exactly, it's a target now.
All right, here's my favorite line in all of these instructions.
Okay.
Use moderate pressure and wipe at a cautious speed, front to back. I like that, right?
Yes.
I like the cautious speed bit. Anyway, there's a bunch of information about this here. A bunch of steps.
Wipeyourbutt.com yeah, for those of you who want to check it out.
I like the wash your hands with soap and water thoroughly.
Yes. There's no information presented here that isn't accurate or factual.
No,
you know?
No. It's just done in such a way that I feel like we don't need it. But whatever. Hey, somebody put that together. They took the time to do it. I have no idea what their hits are, you know, what kind of traffic they get on a yearly basis. But right. We've clearly given them a bump today. So
obviously, somebody at Yahoo Answers has asked this question,
right?
And here is the answer.
The glorious answer is right in front of us, everybody. So yeah, MI5 is really good. Watch it. That's all I want to say about that. I really
that was,
do.
That was the cleansing. That was the washing of the hands.
Yeah, the washing of the hands is MI5, a British television program, British BBC production, BBC4, I would say. I don't know. I have no idea. It's all on Netflix. Many seasons or series, I should say. And there's really good people in it. It's people you recognize. You'd be like, I'm pretty sure I saw all 5 of those people on 4 Weddings and a Funeral. Or that guy was definitely on Lord of the Rings or whatever. There's a lot of British dudes you'll notice and see. And it's great.
Did you ever see, there was I'm sure, kind of a takeoff of this and takeoff of the whole spy genre, the British spy genre. Mm. And I'm looking up the name here because I want to make sure I get it right. But it was... I think it was only 1 season.
Okay.
And it was in the UK. It was a comedy. And it was something like Force 5 or...
Anyone know? Chat room? Come on.
I know the tadpole knows this. And I'm looking up the information right here.
Force 5. That sounds like a thing for... Force 5 sounds real. Our Man Flint? No.
Yeah, that's not it.
Doctor Who? Fox Force 5?
Not Fox Force 5. Wow, TV shows are missing.
They're sure saying Fox Force 5 a lot. Hugh Laurie was in MI5.
Fox Force 5 was the thing that Uma Thurman's character did in Pulp Fiction, isn't it?
Oh, you're right, yeah. The Bionic 6, Fab 5, Pulp Ship. That's not it. All right.
Darn it. I'm
they don't
drawing
know.
A blank here.
Action Team 5? No?
No.
But five finger discount, says Thorin.
You failed me.
I love
Not
these
Thunderbirds.
Guys. No, Thunderbirds was the cartoon or the puppets, right?
And they were led by a guy wearing an eagle mask.
What?
Danger 5. Thank you.
Oh, Danger 5. Okay.
They didn't tell me that. I finally found it. Danger 5.
Ben Folds 5, says Trivial Travis. Yeah, Ben Folds 5.
You need to add Danger 5 to your to your viewing.
It's good, yay? Yeah?
Yes. They go after Hitler in every single episode.
What? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. They're led by an eagle. There's five guys, you know, five people on the team. One of them's an American.
Yeah.
One of them's Australian. One of them's British.
But one of those Americans that is clearly played by a British person and it irritates you the whole time? That happened on MI5 in the first episode. There's somebody from Alabama.
Could be, although he does such a good job that that I never really thought of him as not being American, honestly.
All right.
I think he could be American.
So better than Jason Statham in The One, is what you're saying. Right?
Yeah.
Where is your order?
This is your last warning. Get your hands where I can see them.
Where
I can see them, partner.
Put them away. Hey, Jason, we need you to be American. You want to go study some Westerns so you can speak that way? That's the worst. Anyway. Well, great. I'll check that out. That sounds like fun.
Check that out for sure.
All right. Daryl time.
Okay.
All right. Look, I don't care what you're saying, everybody. I'm talking to Daryl, all right?
You don't care what?
I don't give two rats' asses what they say about Daryl. I'm calling him nonetheless and notwithstanding. It's Stump Track Nerd brought to you by...
Speaking of people doing accents they shouldn't be doing, the Heroes of Handheld Podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to everything PS Vita and Nintendo 3DS. Trying to do John Houseman here. Join Colin and Chris every week as they explore the world of portable gaming with news, reviews, and discussion full of lovable British banter. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher, and don't forget to visit our website at heroesofhandheld.com. You can't beat a Vita.
Whoa. I got shot in the face!
Very nicely done. Well done there, Brian. I like that you changed it up. Yesterday you had more dainty British man.
Right, now I'm
today you're... World War One.
John Houseman and Malcolm McDowell.
Not since the Great War. Is one of those guys, yeah. Guys in World War One are the best. Mustard
you
gas.
You and Daphne are now friends.
Sackboy looks like he's made of a sack. Daryl, speaking of sack boys, what's going on, man? How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Glad to
be here again.
The joy and the vibe coming off you right now is just something to behold. I might be over-exaggerating, but it's good to have you back. Daryl's a Trek nerd, everybody. Comes on here and does Star Trek questions. It's what we do. It's a normal, everyday occurrence on TMS. Something we love, something we do, something we'll always do, as long as Daryl's still willing. So just sit back and relax. Yeah, and it's alive. So take that, and here it is. Here's your question. In the original series episode, A Piece of the Action...
Oh, yay.
Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beam down to the mobster planet. Spock notices many of the people surrounding them are carrying firearms, as you would think, in the mobster planet. A group of mobsters approaches them and tells them to do something. What command does the mobster give to this away team? Is it A, freeze? Was it B, petrified? Was it C, drop it? Or was it D, reach for the sky? So freeze, petrified, drop it, reach for the sky. Those are your options. While you consider them,
are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
What's a foodie?
We haven't talked about what we're eating.
We have not, but I imagine we can
random.
Come up with.
What do you want? No, I'll just grab it. What do you say, Brian? You pick.
Let's do the salt and nut roll might be calling our name, and it's something we can get here. But God, I love these, and it's from that same box as the horse balls.
I can't reach it. Hang on.
Okay.
I gotta reach it.
What are we getting?
I think the Pearson salted nut roll.
Okay.
But I think we're dependent
salted
on others.
Salted nut roll?
Yes.
Crunchy, salty, sweet, and chewy. Now, what's the difference between this and a...
And
what do you call that we have here? We have something like this here.
Well, we have these here, but we also have... God, what is... There's a candy bar that's like that, and you can get it chocolate-covered or regular, and...
I don't know.
Payday, yes, that's it.
Oh,
Cleo.
Payday,
thank
that's
you.
It, a payday. Payday. Yep. That's what I'm thinking of as a payday. All right. Well, here it is. Look at that, everybody. Like peanut turd. And we'll give it a try here, see what we think. No allergies, right? Daryl, you're not like deathly allergic to peanuts.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, no. That was invented long before, or long after I was born.
You know, if you say peanut allergy really fast, it sounds like a way worse allergy than a peanut
allergy.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah. If you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm getting at. Yeah. This is just like the one we have here.
It's exactly the same as a salted nut roll. I love these, though.
I do love them. They're decadent. I feel like I'm making a horrible error when I eat them, but they're really good when I'm eating them.
Mm-hmm. It's peanuts. It's protein.
It has something called intertase in it.
Intertase? Oh, really?
Yeah. You know what
I
that
think
is?
We're gonna it makes you fade into another time reality.
Oh, my gosh. Great. How about I go to the timeline where Frog Pants is worth $2 billion and I sell it? Invertase. Invertase. A saccharose glucase something something inverted something. Hold on. Let's skip ahead here. This is all a bunch of hoo-ha. Give the same mixture of glucose and fructose. Invertase cleave the OC fructose bond. I'm not reading this anymore. That's really boring.
It sounds like a verb. It doesn't.
Yeah. And it sounds super made up by man, totally synthetic and not good for you, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all I'm going to eat of that for now. Daryl, you got any birthdays today?
Oh, we do. That would be Terry Farrell. She is 50 today.
What?
She was Jadzia Dax on DS9.
No, she is not 50.
50.
It is true.
She's 50.
Wow. Is she really? Look at her. There's a picture of her from last year. She's gorgeous still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she still looks good.
She looks... Okay, I'm going to send this around, you guys. Tell me that is not one hot Betty at 50. I guess she would have been 49 here, but look at this chat room. Look at that. Just look at that. Feast your eyes on that. What do you think about them apples?
She's lovely.
She's beautiful. She always was. Is. She was not good when she left because she pissed me off. Because then we got that weird girl on there. Who you can see in the entirety of the Dead Zone series. That's where that girl ended up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the replacement Dax.
Dante Michael Hall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That show was pretty good. Better than people think it was. Anyway, she's beautiful. She would make a great Wonder Woman in her 50s. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
You liked Ezri instead of Jadzia Piscitator? Somebody kill him. Somebody take him out of the chat room. Not allowed to talk. You can't like somebody over Jadzia Dax. Anyway, yeah, she's beautiful. And she doesn't look all fake. There's no big weird surgery going on there.
I like that you call him Piscitator.
What's his real name here? I got it wrong. Piscitator?
Piscator.
Oh.
Piscator.
Piscator. Not Piscitator?
Not Piscitator.
All right, fine. Well, happy birthday to her. She's one of my favorites, and good luck to all that she needs to do. And always buffeting Dr. Bashir's advances. Do you notice that? That was her job the first three seasons, was just pushing him away because he would not stop. Little perverted freaking weirdo doctor.
Oh,
it's too bad. All right, Daryl, back to your question. This is an original series episode, as you're probably fully aware. Because you like that one.
Yeah.
Woolly Affair.
Woolly Affair. You don't want to be involved in a Woolly Affair.
Hell no.
So it's this piece of the action episode. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. I'm in that other dimension now from eating that aspartame or whatever the hell it was. They beam down.
It goes along with the Woolly thing.
Yeah. Mobster Planet. That's where they're at. Mobster comes up, yells, freeze, petrified, drop it. Or reach for the sky.
I think they said a couple of these. So this is where they first run into the mobster guys. So that makes it between freeze and petrify. They might have said drop it too, but I don't think so. And reach for the sky, that was Toy Story.
Reach for the sky. It's more of a cowboy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I'm not saying it's wrong. Just saying that's what I would think.
It's like the Western, right? Mm-hmm. Reach for the sky, partner.
Yep.
I'm going to keep using the term partner, by the way, for everything.
Nice. I think you should.
For Jason Statham's country voice and for... Yeah.
Yep. That's a good idea. I like the cut, okay, I like anyway. The cut of your jib,
Brian. You want I should freeze or you want I should drop to the floor? Because if I'm moving, I can't rightly freeze. And if I'm freezing, I can't rightly get to the floor, can I?
It's a pretty good Slim Pickens, too. You know, that guy? Was it Slim Pickens?
Okay, then.
Okay, then. Didn't I just tell you not to do that? Oh, my gosh. I want more Coen Brothers movies all the time. Yes. I am in the mood for those right now. And it's something about this time of year. But who watches Fargo back-to-back in a 48-hour period? Right. I did. Right. And I've seen it five other times. Like, I could just eat this stuff alive. I'm going to watch Miller's Crossing this weekend because that's on Netflix right now. I want to get my hands on Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou so bad. I'm bleeding. I can't wait. I love it. Coen Brothers, all day, all the time. All right, Daryl, back to you. Sorry. Went off on my little tangent there. Took the
okay. Word.
Yeah.
I'm eating a nut roll.
Yeah. What are you looking for?
What in the world are you looking for?
That guy, by the way.
When did I have peanuts?
I usually only hear that with corn. Corn.
That's true, yeah.
I heard that in the bathroom once. Went in the bathroom, just washing my hands, looking in the mirror, and I hear a guy in the stall go, corn? When did I eat corn? Isn't that great?
That is great.
Anyway, Daryl.
Yeah, I remember that.
Go for it. Hit the streets of Shatner and say, hit the streets.
Okay. Hit the streets.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to say Petrify.
Petrified? Oh. All right, let's find out. What do you think, Kirk?
Oh. This isn't the high school social sandbaggers.
All right, fine. What do you call us? A sandbagger? Bastard.
Mm.
Judges, is it Petrified?
Congratulations!
Nicely done.
You're a winner.
All right, Daryl is correct. The answer is Petrified. Says he wants to see them petrified. Spock asks what he means, and the mobster tells him he wants to see them turn to stone. Here it is. Yeah. Here's how it went. Audio proof.
Okay, you three. Let's see Petrified.
Sir, would you mind explaining that statement, please?
I want to see it turn to stone. Put your hands over your head. You ain't going to have no head to put your hands over.
Whoa, slow down there.
Wow.
Jimmy the hands or whatever.
That is probably the worst way to tell somebody to freeze, by the way. I want to see you petrified.
That is
really
stupid.
I'd like to see you as a statue.
Yeah. I'd like to see you hardened and unable to move. What do you mean? Petrified. No, what do you really mean? Put your hands up and don't move. All right. Daryl, congratulations.
Put your hands in the air like you don't care.
You've given Monday and Tuesday both a sweet, hot injection of correct answering. I'm impressed with that. Wow. Tomorrow you get a chance to do it again. That was not meant to be sexy, what I just said. I was trying to... I don't know what I was trying to do.
Oh, it wasn't sexy. Don't get me wrong.
All right, wrong word for that.
Don't misunderstand my comment.
All right, great. Tomorrow you will have a chance to do it again, which puts you on the path to what I believe will be your first perfect week in a few months. Or a few weeks, anyway. So that's very exciting. We're looking forward to that. In the meantime, follow Daryl on Twitter, at The Trek Nerd, or on his podcast with Mike Gaines, called This Week in Trek, and you can find that at thisweekintrek.com or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. All right, Daryl.
We do that today, too. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Good. What are you planning? What's the episode?
It's All Our Yesterdays from TOS third season.
Oh, great. That was not a good season.
That was an okay episode. I shouldn't say that.
What is with Star Trek's last seasons?
It was an okay episode.
Yeah. Last seasons of Star Trek are typically the worst. So season 7 of TNG, pretty rough business. Until, you know, a couple of really great episodes, but most of it was trash. DS9, I think the last season was weird. And Voyager definitely got some weirdness going on in the last one. And definitely season 4 of Enterprise was janked up for me. I had all kinds of problems season 4. So I don't know what that is. It's a weird trend in Star Trek where they all kind of suck as they're going out. All right. Yeah. So, what are we playing today? What's the name of the game?
I titled this weirdly. I'll just read it. Star Trek. Find this in sick bay. Find this in your garden.
Oh, okay. Here's the okay. theme for it. All right, go for it.
Actually, I love that.
Yeah.
Fulvic acid.
Folic acid?
Fulvic.
Fulvic.
Fulvic acid.
Fulvic.
With a V.
Yeah.
Fulvic.
Fulvic. Yeah. Mulva.
Dolores. I'm going to say find it in Star Trek.
I'll say the other. Find it in your garden.
It is in your garden.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeesh.
Well done, Scott.
Well, I'm not much of a gardener, but when I guess, I like my 50-50 odds. Let's put it that way. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Anxiety Party, a weekly podcast in which Cheesy G discusses things whilst dealing with her own social anxiety. Tuesday's episode features Dian Bakar, or Dian Bahar, because they put it afterwards how it's pronounced, a.k.a. Chota Boy from Orgasmo. And next week will be with Troma Entertainment's Lloyd Kaufman, creator of The Toxic Avenger.
What?
There will be rambling and beverages.
Here's what I think about Cheesy G. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
I don't think she has social anxiety at all. And here's why I say that. Because she's getting the guy who created Toxic Avenger to be on her show.
I know.
She's hanging out with Jamie Kennedy behind the curtain someplace at a concert. She's got, she had Will Wheaton and his wife on to talk about social anxiety. I think she's full of crap. I think she's like a social genius and is getting everyone else to talk about their social anxieties. I'm impressed.
I think there's something to that.
Or at the very least, she's just barreling in both shoulders, man. She's just going for it. And I think that's great.
Yes,
so,
for sure.
You're making good. All right, what are we doing here? Oh, yeah, news.
News.
Rich man. If I were a rich man, I'd buy a house next to my ex-wife and erect a giant middle finger.
Rich man.
That's how the song goes, right? What's rich man's power?
Oh, geez.
You knew I was going to ask.
He's got a spotted dog named Dollar, and he lives in a big house. Excelsior.
Was it Richie Rich had that?
From a competing company.
Oh, right. Because Richie Rich was a comic, wasn't it?
That's right. Harvey Comics.
Yeah. Was that movie?
He was really a rich boy, I guess. Not really a rich man.
John Larroquette in that movie? I got to find out.
Oh, that's right. There was a Richie Rich movie, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was Macaulay Culkin business.
Did it have Wendy or Hot Stuff in it?
We're going to find out. Here we go. Richie Rich. Oh, that's a dude. I don't want the guy whose real name is Richie Rich. Hold on.
Right here.
Richie Rich. Yeah. Here it is. It has dollar signs in it. It is John Larroquette.
John Larroquette right there, tied to the hood of the car.
Regina Rich by, let's see.
And the funny thing is, so they spell Richie Rich with cent signs in his name. Pennies don't, you know, don't give the impression of wealth.
They don't have any of those people you named, the girl names that you just gave.
No Wendy, no Hot Stuff.
No.
No Casper. No.
Was that the ghost?
Yeah, Casper was the ghost.
Wait, Casper the Friendly Ghost was in Richie Rich?
No, but they were all part of the same Harvey Comics company, and there was lots of crossovers.
So they're in the same universe, all right.
Yeah.
Wow. This movie looks...
Yeah, Lil Lulu, right, Lil Lulu.
Came out in 1994, if you can believe that.
Wow.
That was 19 years
ago. Claudia Schiffer, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. Reggie Jackson, baseball player, Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great.
Playing himself, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Reggie Jackson.
John Larroquette. Wow, there weren't a lot of folks in this that...
Well, he was still riding the Night Court wave at that point.
Right. Edward Herrmann, who was the father of the vampires in The Lost Boys.
Oh, good. Oh, I like that guy.
The head vampire.
The head vampire. The guy that, he's great. I like him in most everything he does.
Except for Richie Rich. All right, go ahead.
Michigan man has done this. He's rich. He's loaded. And he bought a house. So his ex-wife moves into some big, huge house. Of course, probably his money is what she's spending.
Right.
And he put up a house, or he bought the house next door to her and erected a giant bronze bird, a hand flipping the middle finger at her all the time.
Right at her. So anytime she looks out the window towards the house right next to her, she sees this big,
huge bird.
Give me the finger. Yeah. Way to get the ultimate final word, dude.
Gotta give Cleo some credit for putting this on. She put this up on Twitter, and I had missed it the first time it was up there, and I saw it, and I went, oh my gosh, we got to talk about this.
Yeah.
It's a daily reminder to tell his ex-wife the feelings he has toward her. According to a person claiming to be the ex-wife's daughter, the crazy wealthy Bloomfield Hills man. Well, the crazy wealthy, not crazy and wealthy, but crazy wealthy.
I jury's still out on that one.
Identified only as Alan. Alan! Allegedly purchased the house next door to his ex and then proceeded to move in with his daughter, Tiffany. He then went a step further and purchased an expensive bronze statue of a middle finger, which he placed to the back porch and aimed right at her house. As if that weren't enough, passive aggression, Allen ensured the statue was visible 24/7 by shining a spotlight on it in the dark.
That second picture?
Yeah.
So let me put the link to this in the tadpole, but the second picture with the really bright light,
yeah.
The light you could probably see from space pointing at this.
Yep. Isn't that great?
Middle finger. That is hilarious.
I love that thing.
Middle finger. It seems like, you know, he could have done far worse than a middle finger, honestly.
Right. Totally. Oh, look. Alan and Tiffany are the best neighbors, tweeted neighbor Lenka Tohi. But, ooh, who does that LOL? Guess who's the worst neighbor, in my opinion.
Right, exactly.
Apparently, the statue had an unintended effect of pissing off.
Tui.
Really?
Yeah, Tui.
I don't like her name. It needs to go away.
Sorry.
Quote, it's hard for me to enjoy my baths now because my fav tub, F-A, you know what? I want all these people to go away. I don't like any of them.
Right, exactly.
In my mom's bathroom, which faces out toward Tiff and Alan's house, she wrote, adding a frowny face emoticon.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally dying. I'm literally dying right now.
Darn, my fav tub.
My fav
tub experience is ruined.
Her fav tub. How many tubs do you have that you get a favorite out of them? I hate it. Freaking hate that. Kids with money. Ugh. I don't mind people who earned it. Their kids are the worst.
Yeah.
They can be, all right? Like, you know whose kids are pretty good? Warren Buffett's kids.
Anything about Warren Buffett's kids.
He's got a great book about it. They're all adults now, but he talks in that book about how it is actually possible to be an extremely wealthy man and not spoil your kids rotten. And teach them the value of work and give them an ethic and teach them how important education is and raise them to be good society giving people and not Paris Hilton types. It's a really fascinating read.
Mm-hmm.
People should check it out. He's a smart guy. Wait, is it Warren Buffett? Yeah, Warren Buffett. The one that
Jimmy
hangs
Buffett,
out.
Maybe?
Yeah, that's what I do. I mix Jimmy Buffett with Warren Buffett up all the time.
Of course. Who doesn't?
He's Margaritaville, right? Jimmy Buffett?
Yes.
All right. All right. What else? Is that the first story? Yeah, it is. Florida man stole monkeys. Today's stories are the best.
I'm not doing a Florida man.
No, we've done him a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this is a power. It was a latent power. We weren't aware he had the stealing of monkeys. A Bunnell man. Okay, give me that one. Who's Bunnell man?
What is it? Bunnell?
Bunnell's a town, I'm sure.
Bunnell or, oh, gee, I got nothing for Bunnell. Come on.
Bunnell man has no powers at all.
Powerless because he's in Florida.
Excelsior was arrested on Wednesday and charged with grand theft and cultivation of marijuana. Guy Maraski, age 58, aren't they always, is accused of growing marijuana. But he told deputies that it wasn't for personal use and not for distribution. Deputies said there was no evidence he sold the drugs, according to the Daytona Beach News Journal. Maraski also was accused of stealing tamarin monkeys. These are tamarin monkeys.
Oh, yeah, little tiny ones.
And a harlequin macaw. Frank Calabria, age 57, aren't they always, of Ocula, told authorities he loaned the two animals to Maraski in 2008 for breeding purposes with an agreement of splitting the offspring evenly. Maraski's estranged wife called Cabaria and...
What if there was an odd number of offspring?
That's a good point. So basically...
You get 1.5 monkey babies. Yeah, I get 1.5 monkey babies.
We're cutting 1.5. Come here, Jingo. Jingo's a bad word, isn't it? Did I just say a bad word? Is Jingo a bad word? When people say jingoistic, what does that mean?
It means like you're waving the flag. You're, you know, like patriotic.
Oh, overly nationalistic or, okay, maybe it's not the word I'm thinking of. Django. Jingoistic is when you see a Tarantino movie.
This is my monkey Jingo. The D is silent.
Nice. What was my point with that? I don't know what I was going to get to with that. Well, it doesn't matter. Now, the point is this guy stole monkeys, and that's all I want to say about that. The entire episode today brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. Listen, you're sitting at home, and you're thinking to yourself, the earbuds I have are okay. They're fine, but they don't really bring out the quality of Scott and Brian's voices in the morning the way I think they should. So you're thinking to yourself, I wish there was a way that I could remedy that, and I'm here to tell you there is. You simply go to our friends at tweakedaudio.com. That's tweaked, T-W-E-A-K-E-D, audio.com. and get a pair of earbuds. Don't worry, they got a lifetime warranty. Don't worry, they're all built with, engineered for durability and, you know, noise reduction, all the stuff you want. They'll have a color you want. They'll have a style you want. Don't worry about any of those things. Here's all you have to worry about. The code that saves you money. 33% off your next trip to tweakedaudio.com by using the code STREAM, 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 at checkout. Do it today because you won't be sorry and they love you.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Hey, it's Celebrity Poop brought to you by
Viking Lass's art streams. When blood isn't streaming down my axe, it's because my art is streaming on the internet. The chat dictates what I draw, and it gets kind of crazy. Come hang out Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time, not a time zone that matters, at twitch.tv/Viking_Lass, or just follow at Viking_Lass for updates.
When blood is streaming down her what?
Her axe.
Oh, axe.
Did I not say axe?
I thought you said ass, but that wouldn't be good. That would be something you'd want to go get
people
checked.
People in the Tadpool are saying, axe?
Oh,
we better listen to that audio.
Yeah, we check that and make
axe,
sure.
Axe is what you sure said. I said axe.
All right. I hope you did. It's a Wonderful Life sequel is underway, everyone. Finally. These many years later.
Have people been demanding this? I don't think people have been demanding this.
For the last 60 or whatever years, George Bailey had such a wonderful film, Life, that he's getting a sequel. A new version of Frank Capra's 1946 classic Christmas tale, It's a Wonderful Life, is now underway. The Hollywood trade publication Variety reported on Monday. The sequel, titled It's a Wonderful Life, The Rest of the Story, is expected in theaters for 2015 holiday release. It has a bit of an original movie. Let's see. It has a bit of the original movie's magic with a twist. Caroline Grimes, who plays George Bailey's daughter Zuzu in the original, will return for the sequel as an angel who shows Bailey's unlikable grandson, also named George Bailey, how much better off the world would have been had he never been born. It's just a remake, guys. This isn't a
Merry
sequel.
Merry Christmas, Bedford. Fall straight to video store.
That's right. All right, listen. Home cooking
Merry
soup.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls dumpsters, where you'll find copies of this movie.
Yeah, George Jr., you're a piece of shit. I hope you have a terrible life. Okay.
You want the moon, Mary? I'll throw a lasso around the moon and get it for you.
Yeah, that's right. I'm having a bit of vertigo.
We'll just pull out everything he's ever done. I'm Mr. Smith, and I've gone to Washington. I used to like him. I met him once. Did I ever tell you that when I was young? Super young.
You met James Stewart.
So he made a movie that was kind of a big deal here locally called Mr. Kruger's Christmas. And if anyone's ever heard of this or seen this,
heard of it.
It was set in Salt Lake City and was shown at, like, if you went like on the Temple Square tour, you could go and watch this full Christmas movie. And it was just a big heartwarming kind of, old people are still have something to give to the community. And this poor old guy living in the basement, he just wants you to come and see his tree and have some hot cocoa. You'd like some hot cocoa, he'd say. And it was a big deal around here. People really liked
inside,
it. Anyway,
warm up. It's a little cold outside. You should come inside and have some hot cocoa.
So when I was young, this would have been, maybe, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something when that came out. Very early 80s, late 70s kind of thing. And he came for, I guess, premieres or something, and he shook a bunch of people's hands. He walked by me and says, "Hey, well, how are you doing, young man?" And shook my hand, and then kept moving. So I have that one moment with.
How were his hands?
His hands were dry and warm. I remember that very distinctly.
Wow,
kind of a dry, no clam,
no crust,
no crusty space hand here, no wet, clammy hand at all.
Right,
just a warm, dry grandpa hand. It was fantastic. Gotcha. It was great, and I haven't washed it since. It's still really gross.
It's like being in a nice, warm, waterless bath.
Yeah, kind of like that. Just a dry heat, you know. It's hard to explain, but it was cool. What are we doing here? Bat Kid. Oh, yeah.
Bat Kid.
So this Bat Kid thing in San Francisco is a big deal, and it's totally cool, and everybody supported it. Even our own Willie Dills Gregory ran out there and did some stuff and kind of watched him because he lives in San Francisco. And the whole city came together for this Make-A-Wish thing for this kid, donned a bat costume, and ran around the city solving crime in the raddest car. And, like, somebody had a Ferrari with a bat sticker thing on the front, and
I haven't heard any of this.
Oh, you haven't heard any of this? Oh, no. It was a huge deal. Huge deal. And they televised the whole thing. They chased him all around town. He's this little guy in a bat thing. He captured the Riddler. He saved some lady from, you know, from some villain. I don't know how that all worked out, if it was the same villain or not. Got to get the key to the city or something, talk to the mayor, like just rolling around town, crowds everywhere, filming it and taking pictures, and just made a huge deal out of it. This kid had leukemia is what it is. He's in remission right now, but it was his Make-A-Wish deal, right? And San Francisco really kicked it up a notch and did a big thing. So I got this article here. Turns out Caped Crusaders Ben Affleck and Christian Bale are also way into this. San Franciscans weren't the only ones touched by Bat Kid, Miles Scott's adventures on Friday. That's his name, Miles. Mm-hmm. Caped Crusaders, Christian Bale and Ben Affleck applauded the five-year-old as well. Bat Kid, best man ever, Affleck, who donned the cape in the upcoming Man of Steel sequel, tweeted on Saturday. Wasn't that fantastic? Bale told Vulture, this little kid, what a wonderful day for the little fella. It's just fantastic. See all those people who are out there to support it? And then he said, oh, good for you, he said.
<Da-da-da-da-da-da-da>.
I have that somewhere. I probably,
you know, it's
it.
Funny. He's really redeemed himself.
I agree.
In my opinion, since I think that
he is working in Hollywood, which is chock full of dicks. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are in that and somebody catches you being kind of angry on set, I don't think you count that against a person's life. This is like saying, oh, that accountant that got frustrated with his secretary today at this company, that proves he's a jerk in real life. I don't think that's, you catch a guy on a bad work day, that's not fair.
Yeah, exactly.
But when he shows up at hospitals and when he came out after that shooting when the Batman premiere happened and all that stuff, like he's really he seems like a pretty cool guy. He's not just half naked with a chainsaw chasing you down the hallway. But don't forget.
Oh, good for you.
That's what he was quoted on saying.
There. Right.
Let's see. What else? Nearly 12.
New movies next month, by
the
way.
Yeah, I know. That guy. Busy.
Yeah, busy.
Nearly 12,000 volunteers and adoring fans holding signs line the streets for Miles on Friday, who has been battling lymphoblastic leukemia. That's the one that's bad if it's in your brain, isn't it? The lymphoblastic. It's the one. It's the kind that spreads real easy. Uh-huh. Anyway, since he was 20 months old and now wants to spend the day as Batman, the Make-A-Wish Foundation coordinated the adventure. Quote, he likes to be a superhero, Miles' mother Natalie told this TV station. Quote, he is one and beat an awful disease, unquote. Anyway, it's a pretty heartwarming deal. And it was all the rage on Twitter. I don't know how you missed that. It was just like
exploding. Weekend was crazy. I was away from the computer for a majority of the weekend doing, you know, moving refrigerators.
That's right.
Installing microwave ovens. They're custom kitchen delivery.
They're not going to move themselves. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you say, honey, get me a beer out of the refrigerator? Or do you say, honey, get me a beer out of the fridge?
I don't drink beer, Scott.
All right. Brian, you...
And I'll get it my damn self.
Let's say
give me something out of the fridge.
Fridge. All right. I do too.
Fridge.
What do they say in the UK? It's something like.
It's in the cold box.
The ice box. I don't know what they say.
The cold box. We should make up British words for everything.
The flim, they'd call it. Something like the flim.
That's right. Here I am sitting at my paper table. I think you Americans call it a desk. It's my paper table.
You might be familiar. In your land, you refer to it as a desk. Here it is a paper table. Flim flam. All right. Moving on. Hey, let's take a break.
My document platform.
When we come back, Fitness Geek will be here. Jury Duty will be here. And I am dying to know about his trip to Malaysia or wherever it is he went. Was it Malaysia? Somewhere. Oh, I've forgotten already. Indonesia? Something. Was he in China? I don't think he's in China.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I don't know. We'll find out coming up.
Singapore,
soon.
Hong Kong people in the tadpole don't know either.
Singapore is correct, I believe. Now that
Singapore
I see
Singapore is
it.
What people are saying. Okay, yeah. There's a majority now saying Singapore.
I think you're right. So he'll be here to talk about that, and I'm sure something else. And then that's it. But then our show will be done, and we can all go home. So Brian, play us a song that'll get us going on the latter half of over this hill, over the hump.
Wow. Okay. Get us over the gotcha.
Yeah.
This one going out to Trivially Travis. The clearing of my throat not included. Just had to do that.
Yeah.
Dear Sausage and Bratwurst, Brian, please play me a cover of anything by Florence Welch or Florence and the Machine. I'm sure you'll find a great one. Shove the Hobo, Trivially Travis. Short, quick, easy, to the point. Boom. Done.
We like those, don't we?
Yes. And with a voice like Florence. you know, you got to be able to rock out some great covers. She does a great version of Halo by Beyonce. I've played that on Coverville a couple times. She's on that new Buddy Holly CD that came out this year. Mm-hmm. How about this one from Acoustic Sessions from Lee FM from 2009? It's a cover of Oh Darling right here, Florence and the Machine.
Oh, it sounds lovely. Let's play it. We'll be back in a minute. Hang tight, everyone.
Oh, darling, please believe me. I'll never do you no harm. Believe me when I tell you, I'll never do you no harm. Oh, darling, if you leave.
Without Static Guard,
static
I'm mortified.
Stuck on you.
Now spray away static with Static Guard. Watch that wrinkly, clingy static disappear in seconds. Static Guard keeps you looking your best. Static
Guard. UFOs are demons.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting. Looking for a come up. This is the Morning Stream.
Fletcher's so in touch with what the kids are into today.
Mm-hmm.
It's really impressive.
he really connects. You know, he really
sure
he
real does. He really
knows that hot button of what's here right now.
Brian, have you heard of accountancy before? Accountancy.
Accountancy.
Yeah.
Is that what accountants?
Only in the UK. They are people. They are
swimming.
It's a calculating and tracking financial matters in Britain. Here's another word that we don't hear over here a lot. Argy bargy.
Oh,
it's a disagreement, like a verbal.
And
dispute.
You hear that if you're a fan of Squeeze. That's where I get a lot of my British vernacular between my father, who's from England,
you probably have a lot of that
British music. I do. I heard a lot of it. You know, like, but you get a lot of it. You get a lot of the slang from Squeeze, like a little bit of the little bit of all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like a row?
You know what a banger? What's a banger? Do you know what that is?
It's a sausage.
Very nice. How about a
bap?
How about BAP?
A bap?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know what a BAP is.
It's a soft bread or roll.
Really?
Okay. How about this one? A Barney.
A Barney?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that Cockney slang? Like, does it rhyme with something? Is that...
It is. I'm looking
tell
at
me
it.
Tell me what a Barney is.
It's a, it's a noisy squirrel. So who would have known? Who would have thunk it?
Really? Yeah. They have a name for everything.
Yeah.
You know what we call those here in America? A noisy squirrel.
Yeah, of course. I'm going to try one more here. How about... oh, that one's not nice. Let's see. A bumph. B-U-M-P-H. Bumph.
Bumph. No.
It
no,
is no idea. Useless paperwork or documentation. I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay.
This copy of Halo 4 sure has a bumph included. Although that's not true anymore. Those games don't really have good manuals anymore.
No, they really don't. By the way, loving Rezogun.
Oh, isn't it the greatest? It's the greatest.
Yeah.
It's what, launch what game triggers, of the day.
What triggers the... Okay, so I know you get the little guys and their little cubes waving hello, you know, dancing around in their little squares.
Little boxes.
What makes them come out? And am I right that you're supposed to just fling them up towards the little green vacuum spaceship?
Or you can fly up there and it'll just take them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The flinging is only if you... Like in the harder levels, the flinging is helpful if you're kind of in the middle of a mess and you need to get him over there
quickly
so you can skillfully toss him, but... Most of the time, you just have to run into the beam, and it'll just take him. Too often
I see them waving around, and their cube is flashing like they're about to something's about to happen, and then they go, then they die.
So, well, there are two ways. One is they're getting abducted, and you kill the ships that are abducting them, and you can get them that way.
Yes.
The second, that one's obvious. The second way, or the main way, is you'll have a wave of enemies that blink while you're fighting them, or they glow, and when you kill them, they create this little like laser beam that
shoots.
The
ball of light. Yeah. Yes.
And that kicks out somebody, and usually it's on the other side of the sphere, and you got to go over there and get them. But,
gotcha. Okay, cool.
And they're mainly for points and, you know, multipliers and things like that.
And I have to try that on the Vita now. That's right. I forgot Scott was talking about that yesterday, that he plays that on the Vita.
Yep.
Little game transfer dealy.
Yeah, and awesome. your other stick is working, so you'll be fine.
I can play with both sticks.
You bastard. Okay.
Both sticks.
Yes, I got too many things I want.
Although you only shoot left and right in that game. It seems like you should be able to switch the controls over to use like the circle and square or something.
If you could. That's an interesting point. If you could, maybe I can do that.
You could totally do that.
All right, we'll see. Fitness geek. Let's add.
What, this is the final score.
Oh, geez. What's his name? Bill. There he is. There he is. He's coming in. He'll be all right.
What do we know him as?
I should do a little theme for him today. What do you think? How about? Yeah. Oh gosh, I don't know. How about this one right here? This is a good one. It's Chinbeard, who's still not answered yet.
Sinister fitness geek.
A little sinister. He's in the chat room, so I know he's around.
He's in the tadpole. He's
taking a poo or something. What are you doing?
Maybe his computer is 5 minutes slow as well.
Could be. Chinbeard, get off the stick. Get on the stick or something. Is he there? I don't see him chatting, but I see him in the list. And I saw him chatting earlier. I have it on good authority that he's physically there. Huh.
Oh, Definicus is telling us that his internet is spotty.
Oh, now he's not showing up. Okay, maybe he is. Is that British? Spotty?
Spotty.
Spotty. Yes.
That means it's flatulent.
Spotty dick.
I was in the plane the other day, and I was reaching up for my bag, and I felt a little spotty.
A little spotty.
All right, how about this one? Boiled sweet.
Boiled sweet. It's a candy.
Okay. A type of confectionery, it says.
Yes.
Bone idol.
Bone Idol. That is that's the show that Simon Cowell is now working on.
It's X Factor, then American Idol, now Bone Idol.
Bone Idol. Yes.
We look for the skinniest girls in the world. It's a lazy is what that is.
Lazy.
You're being very bone idol.
Huh.
How about this one?
Try again.
Bristol's. How about Bristol's?
Bristol's.
Yeah, other than Bristol, which is a place. How about Bristol's? Right.
Bristol's. That's what's on my toothbrush.
Your toothbrush? They're breasts. There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's got a nice pair of Bristol's.
A nice pair of Bristol's right there. And that's the wrong country. Hey, Chinbeard, what's going on, man?
Hey guys, for some reason my computer sucks, but my phone's is fine.
Yeah, it must be your internet or something. Who knows what's going on there?
Maybe my whole internet sucks.
You're coming
how's your,
in.
How's your neighbor's internet?
Yeah. I don't think my internet. Oh man, are we losing it? Dang it! He's not there. What is he, Jury now? Are we going to call Jury and it'll be the best connection ever? Is that soon to happen? Let's try him again. We like to give our guests many shots.
Yes.
As we scooch around
two tries. Two tries and then you're gone.
That's it. No fitness for you. Yeah, see, this eternal ringing makes me nervous. And yeah, that's not, I don't think we're going to get him. I don't think that's going to work.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just a constant rising balls. Look at that. Oh, there he is. Are you there? Hello? Hello, Tin Beard?
Hello.
Hello, oh, you there? Oh, no.
Oh.
He's gone again. All right. Dang it. All right, Chin Beard, next week, man. I don't want to try it again. I think we gave that the college try, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think we did.
I think so.
I feel bad because I want that to work. All right, fine. We'll call Jury. Which should be back in the States. Should be all jet lagged out.
Yeah.
Ready to roll. Don't eat too much. Stay off the dairy and quit eating sugar is advice for Chimper.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
I'm not. It's Justin Robert Young. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, ho, ho, ho. Hey, are you jet lagged or what's wrong with you? What's going on?
Hell no. You want to know
wrong
what?
With
what? I'm feeling amazing.
Really?
Because for once, for the last like 2 weeks, I'm not in Singapore. I'm not in a car. I am in Cleveland. But aside from that, everything's going great.
Oh, that's good. I was hoping you'd get a little downtime. It sounds like not so much.
I did. I had 48 hours between when I had to fly back out to New York City from arriving in Singapore.
Wow.
I don't know if I am identifiable with space and or time, but I know that I'm here and I'm very happy to be back on the morning stream.
Yes. Aww. We concur. We missed you, man.
Play.
Yeah, we had the weird bridge thing and then you went to a foreign country and then now you're here. But we've been – so last week, I mean, all we cared about was what is it – at the time it was what is it going to be like in Singapore. Now you're back. What was it like? What is this land of mystery and intrigue that we've heard so much about in history books?
You know, it's kind of like any other place. Like, I don't know. It was interesting because my little brother wound up going to India about like 3 or 4 weeks before, and we talked a lot about kind of what the differences culturally were and kind of you know, just how you go to a country that, you know, we kind of think as equivalent, you know, to America in terms of the major country, you know, but there's so many just little things that are not the same. And the poverty there kind of hits you in the face in a way that it doesn't necessarily in America. And so I went to Singapore with kind of that in mind of like, not necessarily that there was going to be, you know, larger poverty or anything like that, but that there would just be differences, like cultural differences that were kind of unforeseen in your initial thinking of it.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't. Mm. It was just kind of like a city, which on one level was fairly rad in that there wasn't like a tremendous amount of loss of creature comforts, especially once I rented a Wi-Fi hotspot and basically was able to kind of live my life with impunity.
Right.
Did you have to
poo in holes? Is that how it works over there?
No, holes? There's like amazing toilets. There's just world class poop holes that are not bad.
Okay.
They're great.
Okay.
You know, really like the only thing that was different was just these kind of little differences. For example, so I went to a cigar bar called the Old Cuban.
Oh man. Okay? Oh man, yeah.
The Old Cuban. Now, number one, it was fun because Singapore has no such trade embargo with Cuba, so I was actually able to smoke a Cuban cigar, which was nice. But the entire place was decorated with pictures of Che Guevara, the Cuban revolutionary.
I saw, I saw a photo of you in front of one of those.
Notable for two reasons. Number one, and having grown up in a very large Cuban expatriate community in South Florida and going to school and you know, being friends with very recent Cuban immigrants, not a very popular guy, Che Guevara, amongst like actual Cubans, you know. They're not so thrilled, or at least the ones that, you know, risk life and limb to get to America are not exactly thrilled with the revolution he brought to their island home.
Wow.
And number two, Che Guevara, not Cuban, Argentinian.
Argentinian, right, with Eva Perón and all that stuff. It'd be That's funny.
That's great. But wait, were these people blissfully unaware of these facts?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. And, you know, it's just, it was just one of those things that was like, it was just odd because it was just like, oh, well, it was as if somebody just went to like Wikipedia and like dialed up Cuba.
What's a graphic representation of Cuba? Him? Okay, good. Let's put him everywhere.
There you go. Well, everybody's wearing the shirts. Let's go ahead and put them on up.
Wow. So is, did you run into, I mean, I know so little about Singapore, but you run into other Americans kind of tooling around doing what they do?
I did. While I was at a Starbucks, I ran into somebody, or I saw somebody working at a Starbucks who had a Hack 5 sticker on his laptop.
No way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like, I walked up to him like a weirdo, and I was like, hey, man, I want to take a picture of your laptop because I'm like friends with the Hack 5 people, and they'd really get a kick out of it. And so he then handed me his card, and the name of the company kind of looked familiar. And then he like recognized me studying the card and was like, yeah, that's the same company that Snowden used to work at.
Oh, so man.
He was the contractor for the same company that Snowden worked at before he defected and, you know, decided to start eating borscht out of a vending machine.
So wait, this was an American guy though, not a native of...
American dude. Okay, yeah. American dude that was working in Singapore for Lord knows what. I'm actually considering who he's working for. Interesting to see what, you know, international internet pipeline he's sitting on top of and funneling information back to the NSA.
Oh, weird dude. He probably made a little note. Weird guy walked up to me in Starbucks. Told me he recognized my sticker. Yeah. Keep an eye on that guy.
I know. This is being recorded right now.
That's
and
great.
Not just for the reason that we'll distribute it later as a podcast.
And the reason I even ask all these questions, when I went to China, southern China, I spent some time in Hong Kong, which is very westernized, very European in a lot of ways. Beautiful city, very clean. It was awesome. I loved Hong Kong, except for the typhoon we flew out in. But anyway, aside from that, it was fantastic. And then I spent a week inland toward like some of the factory cities, Shenzhen and that kind of area, Dongguan province and all that. And it couldn't have been more starkly different than Hong Kong. It was very tons of poverty. The poorest people I've ever seen in my life doing horrible things on the streets for food, and the kind of weird traffic, and the kind of just everything smelled like pee. And it was kind of a horrifying nightmare of a place, where everyone's building Nike shoes and Apple iPhones, and a very odd jump between one to the other. Did you have any of that experience where you went from Singapore to something harsh?
No. Well, Singapore is its own city state, right? And it is really like the kind of Beverly Hills of that region. Mm. You know, not only for the fact that it is known as the place where rich people go to buy things, it's also expensive. Like, even, like, on American standard, like, it was really kind of annoying how expensive it was. Normally, you travel outside of America, unless you're going to Western Europe, you kind of expect to get a little break, get that American break, right? not so much, man. That was really kind of expensive.
Really?
The answer to that is no. And also, I asked, luckily I had a couple friends of friends that were able to give me some tips on, you know, places to go and really help me out in terms of getting actors for the Go Game, which is why I was out there.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, hey, give me some stuff to do. I'm here for like a couple days. And they're like, well, how about this? If you have some time, do yourself a favor and go to the Universal Studios.
What? They have a Universal Studios.
They have Universal Studios in Singapore, yeah.
They do.
I didn't know that. But what's the difference? Yeah. Is the shark just funnier looking? Or, I mean, what do you do?
I did go.
Oh, you should have gone. I would love to know.
Around the opposite direction, counterclockwise.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I looked it up. It's the same stuff. It's like the Transformers ride from L.A. and all the other. I mean, like, they just import those exact same rides, you know? Like, all the specs are the same.
Weird. I wouldn't have guessed this. I mean, I know there's different Disneylands around the world and things like that, but I don't know why the Universal thing in Singapore seems so weird to me. That seems like a weird thing.
It's Universal.
You know, I see. I get it.
It's indeed.
Wow. That's
Those
great.
Are only the earthly locations.
That's right.
Well, that's cool, man. So nothing. It doesn't sound like anything too crazy happened then. It was a little more pedestrian than one might expect.
I tried to actually get harassed by the cops. That was kind of a goal because I had Google Glass, and during the Go game, you know, there is oftentimes a mission where somebody runs around dressed as a hot dog. And so,
wait a minute. I'm now less concerned about why there is no Universal Studios or why there is one and why someone's running around like a hot dog in your Go game. Explain that.
Well, so basically one of the things that we do is, you know, we have a mission that's called a runner. So all the teams get told at the beginning of the game that there's a runner running around the game zone. You don't have to go look for him now, but if you see him, then, you know, chase after them and tag them, and they're going to give you a mission.
All right.
So that oftentimes is a hot dog because I've tried it with a bunch of different things like superheroes and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, there's a primal element to somebody chasing after somebody that's dressed like food.
Well, it's pretty pretty iconic too to do a hot dog, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Brian, it's like a padding NPC quest giver. That's what this is like.
Right.
In WoW parlance. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So I don't know. In my head, I'm like, man, this is going to be great. I'll dress up like a hot dog. Because Singapore famously is very stringent in their like small laws, like just like walking around the street kind of laws. Like their littering laws are really, really hardcore. Famously back in the early 90s, the graffiti. Got caned for graffiti. Yeah. An American got caned for graffiti. So I'm like, man, there's got to be something I'm rubbing up against if I go running around as a hot dog. So I went around, and my idea was wait until I get stopped. I get, like, reprimanded by anybody, like a store owner, security guard, like cop. I just wanted to kind of have that conversation with Google Glasgow. Because I thought that would be very funny.
Sure.
And nobody cared. I was very upset. I'm like, you guys are supposed to be freaks about this.
I'm trying to imagine a hot dog.
What do I have to do?
Were you literally a hot dog walking around with Google Glass on your hot dog face?
I will send you a picture.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
I can't wait to see that.
You just made my whole week. Send that to post haste, because I don't think I can go on until I see this combination of already awkward technology and already awkward standard clothing wear. Like, that's a terrible combination. That's great, though. Well, I'm glad you made it through pretty unscathed, sounds like. Nothing too weird, no weird diseases or, you know, funky whatever. Turbulent flight? How was the flying to Singapore?
Long.
How many hours is that flight?
You guys picture.
Oh, that's fine.
22 each way.
Oh, Lord.
I connected through, I connected through Hong Kong on the way there, Tokyo on the way back. But because I am a maniac and I've flown so goddamn much over the past year, I was able to upgrade to business class.
Oh, good. For free. Oh, good. Because when I went to China, it was like an 18-hour flight, and I remember thinking at the time we had business class, but I remember thinking everybody back there in coach has embolisms now, every one of them. There's no way you can go 18 hours without, like, more. There's a blood clot for every other seat in this Delta flight. There's just no way they're not getting those. So I'm very happy to hear that. We don't need no blood clots in our Justin Robert Young.
No. Although you cast a very dark pale on what I otherwise thought to be a bit of a puckish fun. As I was looking, my seat was facing toward economy.
Yeah.
And I see a dude that is probably like two of me, like a very tall person sitting in economy while I'm like, oh man, that must really suck. Let me lay down and take a nap after I drink one free wine.
Yeah. I remember feeling really bad for tall, tall people. I'm terrible on planes because I'm 6'4 and big, long legs and I don't fit. I would have been miserable. I will never fly internationally unless I'm going business class. There's just not a chance. Maybe France or something like that I could deal with, but I couldn't do it. I don't know how people do economy.
Europe's not terrible. I mean, you know, especially if you connect and you have a couple hours in like New York or
it's like 8 to 10 hours.
It's not the worst, but yeah, no. San Francisco to Hong Kong was a 14-hour flight, and I don't know how well I would have been able to do it if I couldn't. I've just like literally laid down and taken a nap, you know?
Right.
Same going from Singapore to Tokyo. There was a moment where I just kind of hit the, I'm sitting on a plane and I have so many more hours and this is going crazy. And I just watched all the episodes of Veep and Girls that they had available. And now I'm like, let me watch Zoolander. Oh wait, that movie is really funny. I forgot that Vince Vaughn's in it. I have nothing else to do. I've reached the end of things to do. I guess I'll just go to sleep. And then I woke up and we were in Tokyo and it was amazing because I sleep on planes a lot, but very rarely for kind of more than 2 hours. Like I'll wake up and then go back to sleep. This was like done, like a skip to the end of the flight button, which was amazing for a 9-hour flight.
Wow, that's great. So yeah, I don't know what I was expecting. I guess I had it in my head a couple of factors. One, it's Singapore, a land of mystery, right? And two, so anything can happen. And then two, it was Justin Robert Young, where everything can happen. Like he's a guy that, you know, you put him into the mall and on the other side he comes out with a corn dog coming out of one hole and
Jesus Christ,
covered in perfume samples or something. Like you're a guy who there's unexpected things can happen in the wake of a Justin Robert Young visit. And I just
there's
thought these combinations.
Party around Justin.
Yeah. So I thought this combination of two things would coagulate into the ultimate travel stories ever. And instead it's you in a hot dog suit.
No. Yeah, it was not tremendous. You know, I guess the biggest thing was I didn't really know a lot of people I knew nobody to kind of just like hang out with, which is probably usually I don't know what my propensity is for just completely, you know, going crazy on a business trip, you know, by myself. But certainly if there was somebody else that I could, you know, do my shuck and jive dance in front of to try and make him giggle, that maybe like that's where I would have gotten in trouble.
Sure.
But then beyond that, you know, Singapore is just, it's kind of a straight laced country. It's there's no two ways about it. And I think the way that I kind of have explained it to people is that, you know, you look around everywhere else in that area is like Indonesia and Malaysia and a lot of countries that, you know, are a little bit, you know, they're not quite to the kind of first world standards that Singapore is. And it's kind of like if you like your freshman year in a dorm, there's like the one floor where everybody's, you know, getting hammered and selling pot and just like just completely going wild. Then there's like the one person who's pulling straight A's. And that person, just by way of where they are, have to be a little bit more intense than they would be otherwise. You know, they're, no matter what, they're the person who's like, hey man, you want to go out and get a drink? No. Like, well, you should. I said no! Like, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And that's kind of what Singapore is. It's that it's just, it's the very studious person on that floor where everybody else is getting drunk. And in my mind, in that metaphor, that kid is Asian.
Well, right. So I'm reading, just as you're talking about how straight-laced they are, I'm reading a little bit on Wikipedia about this. It says, among Chinese Singaporeans, 1 in 5 is Christian, another 1 in 5 is atheist, and the rest are mostly Buddhists and Taoists.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a lot of Buddhism there. That probably means
But Christmas was in full swing.
Oh, yeah, really?
When I was there. It was hot as hell, but yeah, Christmas was rocking. That was my hotel was next to a mall, and there's a gigantic Christmas tree up already.
Wow, so they hit it early out there as well. Jeez.
It's everybody.
Well, because they don't have any pesky ass Thanksgiving to get in the way.
Oh, right. Yes, exactly.
Pesky right. ass Thanksgiving. Mm. Well, good stuff, man. I'm stoked for you. It must have been kind of a cool experience to head that direction. Now you're an old pro. Oh, you go no, back and you just got it. You're done.
No, it was super cool, and it was definitely a fun time. I would very much like to go there or other places for the Go game in the future. So if you indeed work for an international company that would like to pay money for me to come out and put on a scavenger hunt, then go on over to thegogame.com and pay for it.
Awesome. I think that's a good idea. Anything else in your world worth discussing before we set you loose? Yeah.
bit.ly/gohomesanta. That is where you'll be able to get on the mailing list for Go Home Santa, You're Drunk, my new collection of short stories, and kind of what has happened since I last talked to you guys, which is very relevant to the Frog Pants universe. So I finished the stories, and I recorded the audiobook with the idea being that it would just be like a regular old audiobook, you know, that I would just kind of put it out to be me reading the stories, and that would be a companion piece to the ebook. But I sent one of the tracks to Andrew Allen because I had an idea for him to kind of score it.
Mm.
And I wanted, there's a couple of things that hopefully over the next couple or after the book is out, there's a couple of videos and fun little side projects that I'm kind of collaborating with people on to sort of drive interest in it, and hopefully people get a kick out of them.
Nailed it. One of them,
sorry, keep going.
One of them was going to be Andrew working on one of the tracks, and so I sent it to him, and he's like, "This is great. How about I score the entire book for free?"
Whoa.
And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. Sure."
Yeah. Okay.
So he did.
Wow. And
he's done an amazing job. If you want to listen to one track now, you can go to jurytalks.com, JURYTALKS.com. The newest episode of the Jury Podcast features one of the stories that Andrew just completely took to the next level. This was one of the two that I initially sent him. I sent him one that was a funny one, and one that was a serious slash kind of, it really is kind of more of a horror story. It's amazing when you listen to it to realize, even for me, having written it, like it was amazing listening to it and knowing that like I had not written that with him in mind to fill in gaps.
Wow.
Like there's like, references to like a song that obviously in the printed word is only described and never heard. And he just did such a great job in kind of filling in that. So,
it is amazing. I've had the pleasure of listening to this and, or at least some of it anyway. And it's fantastic.
That's
great. I love it.
It's what a perfect add on to this thing. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So there we go. It's, called Christmas Florida, and, that's the track that's on the Jury Podcast. The whole thing's called Go Home Santa, You're Drunk, and it will be available on Black Friday in ebook and kind of audiobook slash, like now that it has so much awesome music on it, it's kind of like a Christmas album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that'll be out on Black Friday you know, I'll probably say the same bit.ly/gohomesanta.
Yeah, go home thing, Santa. Bit.ly.com. No, bit.ly/gohomesanta. Everyone write that down.
That's it. Yeah. Including cover art.
Oh, by my daughter. Yep. Carter Johnson. Original, man.
Very cool.
Yeah. There's something about, I have to say this. So some of those stories are pretty twisted, right?
Yeah.
And there is something about my 16-year-old. She's a very innocent 16-year-old. She's more interested in drawing and reading than she is in dating or, you know, she doesn't care about that stuff. She's kind of a nerd. So she's real quiet about this stuff. So there's something about her innocent take of Santa and contrasting that with the work in the actual book that makes it the perfect combination. I can't quite get my put my finger on it, how to describe it, but there's some little magic going on between the two.
Well, I think that
things.
Was kind of the idea was you know, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but like when I had the idea for the whole project, part of it was that cover and just the idea of having Carter's kind of best pals with Han Solo and Chewie style art kind of being on the front of what will be, you know, at times obscene and subversive stories about Santa Claus
doing terrible things.
He doesn't do tremendous terrible things. He does shoot a pimp,
right? And who of us hasn't really yeah. Who are we
but
to judge
for, like, then that story, I had gotten to kind of the end and I'd written a bunch of very weird ones and I got halfway through everything and I'm like, wow, none of these are funny. Like, I need to, like, people kind of know me as being a funny guy. I can't just write all these, like, depressing stories about divorce and aliens and, like, a bunch of crazy stuff. So I had to write something funny. And also, I was like, well, any Christmas compilation kind of has to have the true meaning of Christmas poem.
Of course.
It's kind of like the trope,
yeah,
you know, you have to kind of put your installment into there. And so mine has Santa demonstrating the true meaning of Christmas by murdering a pimp in cold blood.
All right. Well, I'm excited about this. So watch for that Black Friday coming up.
By the way, I sent both of you guys the Dropbox folder with all of the different score tracks in it.
Yep.
And since I hit send, and it was to a bunch of people that I love and respect and I would really appreciate their opinions, but I have waited in suspense for the very polite email from Scott Johnson saying, you want to know what? I don't know if Carter could be a part of this project.
Now that I've listened to it and I've had some time to think about it.
Yeah, I don't know about
it. Well, to me, it's like, here's what it's like. You got to hire little kids for your horrible, bloody, sex-starved axe murderer movie, right? Because somebody's got a kid somewhere that's in danger, or some kid has to look at the TV and say they're here, or whatever, right?
But, Justin, I hope you're loving this correlation from the start right here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The idea being that, you know, it doesn't mean the kid...
The poltergeist.
Right, the poltergeist kid doesn't get to see the rest of it yet. Like, that's not their thing. They're there to do their other job, and that's how it's easy to see it that way. For me, that's a no-brainer. So there you go. For those of you out there going, bad parenting. No, it's not like that. This is good parenting.
Let your daughter be involved with this sort of thing, Scott.
It's actually good parenting because basically she's getting an opportunity to get her work out there and she's being encouraged to do new things. And I'm not sitting around going, you know what else you ought to do? You ought to read The Dirty Thing.
Yeah. And to be fair, I really don't, I don't think that if you enjoy the stuff that we talk about on the morning stream, it's really not farther than that. You know, it's not anything particularly NC-17. I don't think that there's any sex at all in the book. I think that there's like maybe one or two kind of oblique references to anything sexual, but like there's not nothing really gets super graphic or particularly like crazy gross or anything like that.
Right.
I think if you dig like frog pan stuff and you dig, you know, me on the morning stream, then I think that there's not a lot that will kind of stretch that definition, you know, much farther. It's not some like crazy Lars von Trier, you know.
Oh, that
guy. Psychosexual nonsense.
Yeah, we don't want him. So Antichrist on DVD now. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Let me ask just one. I got a Utah Mormon question.
Oh, great. I love those. Go.
I was reading the book Game Change 2012.
Right.
That was, it's all about the last election. And an element that I did not know, and everybody that I've told, even people who are kind of politically minded, did not know, was that Mitt Romney and John Huntsman, the former governor of Utah, who became...
We loved him here, by the way. He was great. Great governor. Yeah.
Yeah. that they
moderate
hated
Republican.
Each other.
Yeah, they hated each other's guts. This is true.
Okay, so this I didn't know whether that was well known like inside Utah.
I shouldn't say it's I mean hate. It's I don't know. It's not the kind of hatred where next time I see you, I'm going to blow your face off. It's not that kind of hate, but it's you know there was a lot of distaste or dislike for John. Basically, it came down to this: John Huntsman really disliked the way Mitt Romney went from moderate, middle of the road, sort of peacemaker between the two aisles, which he was kind of known for during his time in Massachusetts and other political times in his life, to trying to carry the big, heavy right wing bag of his base in order to get nominated for president. And he did not like that. Yeah. He did not like that he was willing to do that over stick to what he probably didn't really, you know, he probably was a much more moderate guy than he was letting on. In other words, I felt like McCain did this too during his election run. They kind of just all of these principles that they supposedly stand for when they're in other public office suddenly go to the wayside and they go extreme hard right or hard left just to get nominated. He did not like how he was so willing to swing that way. That's what it came down to.
And it's like if Osama bin Laden wanted to get gay married, I'd give him the death penalty.
Exactly. They go crazy with that stuff. Whereas before all of that, you hear those same guys going, well, I think women should be, they're in charge of their own bodies, you know, and then when they start going extreme right during the election, they get in trouble from their own, or, you know, from the other side saying, well, wait, you said these other things. So, bap, bap, bap. And Huntsman it didn't hold with him. He didn't like it. So that's a pretty well-known thing. But anyway, I didn't mean to cut off your question, okay. But yeah.
No. That's actually what I wanted to know. I wanted to know how well-known it was in that sphere, because there is a moment in the book, and it was probably my favorite moment. And it kind of encapsulates everything that I love about Mormon culture.
Okay.
It's the moment in 08 where John Huntsman decides to endorse John McCain instead of Mitt Romney, despite the fact that he had apparently given, or at least to Mitt Romney's opinion, he had given Mitt Romney a firm agreement that he would endorse him when it came time. So Romney's furious and gets on the phone with John Huntsman, and to the descriptor of the book, unleashed the most foul insult that he could think of toward John Huntsman.
I haven't heard of this. I'm excited to hear this. What is this?
Your grandfather would be ashamed of you.
Okay. The reason that matters, or that's so harsh...
Yeah.
Is nothing to do with Mormon culture. It's got nothing to do with like ancestry or anything.
No. I meant in the Mormon culture, it's just that is more of that, like that would be the.
Well, it has some significance.
That the ancestors have to, like, mean.
Right, right. But it even goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that because John Huntsman is the grandson of the Huntsman who was this dude who
rescued Snow White.
Well, no, wrong Huntsman, a little later than that. But this is the one that established all this like cancer research stuff. Like there's a giant cancer research center up near the University of Utah called the Huntsman Cancer Institute, which is world renowned for its research, for its breakthroughs, for its treatments and all this kind of stuff. So it's this big, big freaking deal in the, you know, let's fight cancer community. And the guy was constantly giving money and giving, you know, he was an extremely charitable guy and had all these different, what do you call them, set up, whatever they are, just stuff to help people. Everything from just homeless charities. Stuff, but all the way to these charities that help cancer research and stuff. And you know, the university's oncology department, which is, again, pretty world renowned, is nothing without that backing and some of that original stuff. So he's the grandson of all that. So that is an insult in the sense that, you know, this great man who gave so much to the community, so much to the world, so much to the everything, gave most of his money away to all these causes, saying that he would be disappointed in you is a bigger deal because of all of that. So that does have significance because of the impact. You know what I'm saying?
No. Listen, I absolutely get it. And if you listen to the tenor or, you know, you are a follower of politics and you understand like what the sound sound and verbiage of, let's just say, for example, on the other side of the aisle, a internal Chicago politics conversation would be if there were a betrayal to the level that you know, Mitt Romney felt betrayed by John Huntsman.
Yeah, yeah.
There would be insults that would be slightly more colorful than your grandfather would be ashamed of.
That's exactly. I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Yeah, there is definitely a there is an old school gentleman's disagreement quality to that insult for sure.
Yes. Yeah. No, and I love it.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
I was so delighted by it. And it's one of those things that always goes to say that I think that the world would be better regardless of your religious predilection if we all just kind of behaved more like Mormons. I really do enjoy that.
That's funny. That's a pretty funny thing to say. There is something, I mean, who was it? Adam Carolla made a comment recently. They came here and did one of their stand-up things and their mangria tasting things here in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And prior to them coming, they were all stressed out about, oh, how are we going to, are they going to, you know, is this going to be weird because liquor laws and this and that and the other, and all the jokes and everything. And then they came, and then he said on his show, his morning show, that he would prefer to come here every time to do anything ever again. Like, he says, it's clean. Yeah. It's clean. They have these, he says, they have these flags downtown. They have these flags on these crosswalk posts where you can grab a flag and it's a bright flag. So if you're walking in bad weather or something, people can tell you're walking across the street. They're like crossing guard flags and they're just there.
Yeah.
It's just, and they don't get stolen. He goes, I don't know how that's happening. He says, if this is in Orange County, those would have been some hobo's tent years ago or whatever. Anyway, he went on and on and on about how clean and how nice everything is. And I think that has a double-edged sword. Some people see that and they think we do live in a time where that doesn't exist anymore. So they're freaked out by it. And then there's another group of people who are like you, who are kind of tickled by it and like, oh, that's great. I kind of wish we all would be a little bit nicer, or if our insults were that gentlemanly and, or whatever. So it's a weird dichotomy that some, not all, but, you know, some people sort of living around here. It kind of depends on what part of the valley you're in, but it is an interesting place. And I like that it, for good or for bad, for jokes or for not, I live in a unique part of the country, and it's always felt that way to me. So I'm happy to be here. It's a good vibe. I like it.
It is the definition of the patchwork of the American quilt.
Yeah.
That, you know, that genteel, you know, having the crossing guard flag, you know, in a rainstorm, you know, can exist next to the sweaty gator crawling ratchet mess that I know and love as South Florida, my ancestral home.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
I love it. God bless America.
That's right. God bless America, everybody, and
which
God bless
is why
you.
I'm running for president.
That's God. Right.
I'm making my announcement.
Here's the thing, John. I'll say this one last thing. John Huntsman would have been a great Democrat disguised as a Republican president, because that's kind of who he is. And in fact, the idea that Utah produces nothing but conservative Republicans is kind of a joke around here, because the core system of sort of even core Mormon beliefs are very democratic and almost not, I wouldn't say socialist, but very like everybody needs to give to everybody. Everybody needs to share. Everybody needs to help your neighbor. I mean, those things are pounded into you as a child and all the way up through. They're like these core values. So when everybody takes on this cloak of conservatism, it's usually just for hot button issues like, I don't know, abortion or gay marriage or something. These really hot issues that if you look underneath it all, they really aren't, they're not very good Republicans. They're pretty they're basically Democrats. So he would have been this like great straddle the aisle kind of guy had he gotten in there. I really believe that he would have been a pretty good president.
Yeah. His chapter in Game Change 2012 is really interesting. The reason why he flamed out was in part because, you know, he walked that line between maybe he is more noble than the others in that he refused to kind of take cheap shots or sort of play the game. But at the same time, sometimes playing that kind of bare-knuckled game is kind of like, well, if you don't want to pull the trigger on calling Rick Santorum an a-hole, then how are you going to face down China or Russia?
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I agree.
So, you know, his story was very interesting, but you know, he was an interesting candidate and wound up, you know, really kind of, I don't think that we've seen the last of him. He'll probably run again.
Yeah, I probably will. And he could do well, I think. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. He's an interesting guy. I didn't know we were going to go from hot dog in a suit to such political intrigue here. It's fantastic.
I'll tell you what, as soon as Chin Beard cleared out, I'm like, well, hell yeah, man. I can go double long.
Let's fill this up.
Have buck 20.
That's right, dude. And you did it. Nice job. Justin R. Young on Twitter, twitlive.tv would be tonight, right, for NSFW?
NSFW tonight.
The award-nominated NSFW.
That's right.
Yeah,
did you guys rally your fans up for,
yeah, did
for
you,
votes?
By did the you
way?
Guys get a bunch of votes? Do you know?
Oh, I don't. I mean, like, I know on Twitter, one of our awesome fans, Jackie Hearn, was kind of vote marshal and, you know, was reminding everybody every day. And I'd try to keep up with that. But, you know, on the show, no, we haven't, we didn't really flog it all that much.
We flogged like, you know, we were pimping like there was no tomorrow. we tried the no flog last year and we said screw it, this year we're gonna go nuts.
And well, I don't know, so did you guys have anything in best video?
No video.
Oh, then maybe we drafted on the
you probably did, because we encourage people to vote for you guys, for Sword and Laser, for all our friends, really.
Although I think we might have been up against Sword and Laser as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, well, we like those. I have two shows in the video game category, so I don't mind that fight. We got a good friend, Clinton, is in the comedy category with us, and we don't mind that fight, although we're totally going to win, so take that, Clinton.
We're so glad that NSFW didn't end up in the comedy category as well.
Oh, though, we'd have been screwed. Yeah, because you guys are funny.
I don't know.
Well, have a ball, dude. I'm glad you're back. Glad you're safe. And let's do this again next week. How's that sound? That's it. He's out.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that's a funny way.
What a way to go out on Skype.
What a way to go. That was really great. All right, we got some emails. We're gonna rip through these real quick. Emails brought to you by
Filmsack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, The One. Subscribe today at Filmsack.com.
Hi, Scott. This may be too late as it's no longer relevant, but I thought I'd chime in anyway, says Carol from Philly. Philadelphia cream cheese.
Cheesesteak sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds really good. I had to go get one today. You know who has really good sandwiches? I was totally surprised. Dunkin' Donuts. We finally got one here.
Oh, really?
They're great. Oh, my gosh.
We used to have Dunkin' Donuts, and they disappeared for a long time. They just put one up at the airport. So next time I fly out and I'm hungry, or I fly in and I'm hungry, I'm going to get one there.
I was blown away by that. I thought it was just crap
donuts.
Good
sandwiches, huh?
Yeah, great sandwiches. Totally blown away. In an attempt to stave off boredom at the office, I've been listening backwards through the archives of the past TMSs. And May 13th on the episode Stay on Target, at about 1 hour and 7 minutes in, you played a clip of a lady leaving a voicemail message in a foreign language. Remember this? This was your call.
I'm hoping it's the Haberdum.
Yeah, it's the Birdum.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Skip over here. I think, anyway. In case you were still curious, I'm here to tell you she was speaking Vietnamese.
Really?
Possibly
so
from the central...
Is Birdum?
Yeah, well, I guess. The high part, I don't know. She sounded southern to me, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, she said, just call and say, I love you, hon, or something like that. Do you still have the clip somewhere?
I do. I'm going to pull that up. She says, my mom is from the Hue central of central Vietnam. My dad's from Saigon, much different accent. This lady's accent is similar to my mom's. Anyway, she was amicably calling. Gosh, I came that. Couldn't get that word out, or the word couldn't. an equal female of some sort, probably a friend or sister as opposed to a mother or child, to say hi and to call her back because it's been a while. They've talked. Or so it's been a while since they've talked. I would have obviously assumed that she called the wrong number, because it was you she called. So I'm going to play the clip, just so you can hear it again. And, come on. I'll tab my way into hell and back. All right, here we go. Birdum. No, that's burping. Hold on. Birdum.
I burp him.
Burp him. Okay, here it is.
I burp him.
Okay, that's the one. Now, listen to that again.
I burp him.
I don't know still.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
because a lot of the rest of the voice message sounded like it was in English, like it was, you know.
How about this one?
Hold on. Wendy's old fashioned hamburgers.
Fashioned. What's the accent? Is fashioned.
Fashioned.
Anyway, we're going to take your word for it, and I'm glad you're going back to the show like that. That's awesome, Carol. So thank you for. We don't mind at all when people bring up old stuff. It's totally fine. Dear Scrub and Bubble, says George. Currently from Canada. In episode 500, there was a small stumble over what language Indonesians speak. I grew up on the island of Borneo speaking Bahasa. Hmm. Bahasa? Yeah.
Bahasa.
It's an interesting language of different dialects and reflect your socioeconomic status. It is considered rude to speak dialects that are below your status. Weird. Glad I could finally contribute. Love the show, though. George, currently from Canada. P.S. Grats on 500. I, for one, want 500 more.
I, for one, want 500 more.
Oh, I got it.
He's doing the 500. He's doing the
so I just spelled Proclaimers. That like an idiot.
Have you noticed, you probably haven't noticed, how much that song has come up in the last couple weeks on television shows? I want to say Modern Family had a thing with...
Yep, it's having a rebirth.
Right, and then How I Met Your Mother last night had a big Proclaimers.
I think we give the credit to Cliff. I think Cliff gets all the credit.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Finally, Jay wrote in, says, morning, Scott and Brian. It's eFink G4 in the Tadpole and other places on the net. Also does great segment on The Instance as well.
Yeah.
It's been, I've been writing and calling for years now. Some of you may know my little segment on the tail end of The Instance. At the time of the TMS today, my mom will be undergoing open heart surgery, a quadruple bypass. It's very shocking, really, and to be honest, I'm rather scared. I'm sure she'll be just fine, but once she asked me to bring her rosary beads and I kind of broke down a little. She's in high spirits, though. She said to me, quote, I wanted to visit Boston, but not like this, unquote. So as I sit patiently in this waiting area, I ask warm wishes, prayers, thoughts, whatever you can give. Thanks a bunch. Mm-hmm. I won't feel bad if the next thing coming up is goofy. Also try out tadpool.us, Jay. Well, Jay, we always like to... here of people's both ups and downs. Sounds like you're in the middle of a down, and hopefully this all goes well. So this would have been a day or two ago. So maybe by
now, really? So
maybe by now we know what's going on or how things went. So Jay, will you follow up and let us know? We hope everything's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that sucks. And we hope your mom's doing better.
It looks like tadpool.us is a, did you put this up? It looks like another IRC chat for the Tadpool.
I did not. I don't know who did this. Maybe he did.
Maybe
he did. That's very nice. So go to that nice alternate place to hang out. That's it. We are done. Thank you all for being here. Tomorrow, brand new show. Tom, Nicole, and the Geek Food Ladies will be here as well.
Yay! Talking, it's gonna be packed. Yeah, packed show.
Action packed is what it'll be. Yes. And between now and then, I want to thank our friend Scott Fletcher, Daryl, of course, comes on the show every day. We really appreciate him. Sorry, Chinbeard, we lost you. Thanks for being here, Jury. Always good to talk to him. Made up.
Apologies to Matt Damon. Wasn't enough time to have him.
That's
on.
That's right. We'll have him on next time. It's fine. Gosh dang it, we got new mugs coming. I want to let people know about that. Note, if you love the holidays, you like Christmas, we got a whole brand new set of Christmas cards up on the Frog Pants store, and the most exciting part is we have a combination card set with not just me but with multiple artists who contributed to that card set, and I'm going to tell you who they are right now. So hold on, if I can find it. It's called the Frog Pants and Friends Holiday Card Set. It's only $15. You get a brand new one from me this year. You get one from, I'm going to make sure I don't get anyone's name wrong, Mary Varn from the NPC comic. She's awesome. She's also an animator, incredibly talented. You get one from Steve Hammaker, friend of the program, Steve Hammaker of Plox fame. Does amazing. He's the artist. He did all the coloration on Bone, dude. The guy's
genius. And he did my Coverville artwork.
That's right. Your Coverville cover art. Yep.
Yep.
He's supremely talented and amazing guy. So is Joel Duggan of Star-Crossed fame. He also contributed a card. And, gosh, my daughter Carter. And then I. And then me. And then I. Anyway, the whole thing is available now. Get it.
Very cool.
What are you going
to
say?
I was going to say Chinbeard actually does have something he needs to plug. He's doing something for the Desert Bus Charity, doing a Space Gun project for the Desert Bus Charity. He's trying to call in. Do we have a second to pull him in?
Yeah. Did he try to call? It's not showing up. Usually I see those. Let's see. We can try. Give it a try. See what happens. Bill, are you there? Bill.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here.
There he is. Oh, you sound much better now.
No thanks to Comcast.
Comcast, fist in the air. So, Wayne, yeah. Tell us about your charity thing before we go. What is it?
So they're doing the Desert Bus for Hope thing. They started on Saturday. They go for like 6 days. And one of my space guns from my Kickstarter, I painted it all up to look all Desert Bus-like. And that will be raffled off on Thursday. So that's what's going on.
Very cool. So where can people go to support, help, do things?
All right. If you go to desertbus.org, yeah. They're running all day, every day. So whenever you pop in there, they'll be doing something. And generally what they do is they'll have an item up that's been donated, and then you contribute in increments of a certain amount of money to enter yourself into the raffle for it. So that's how they'll do the space gun.
Oh, look, they have a bus cam going. Let's see what this...
You'll also see them here.
Are they on a bus?
They are driving the bus from the game Desert Bus, which is a terrible, terrible game where you drive a bus in real time, you drive it for days.
Okay.
The bus just slightly leans to the right, so if you don't pay attention, it'll crash, and then you have to start over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Child's Play charity, and I sent them one of my space guns, and that will be on Thursday. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see when they're doing that, and you can hop in for a chance to win it.
They're currently at 174,858. They bust 70 hours, 55 minutes, rather, and their goal time is of 139 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah, support it. It's cool. Desertbus.org. I've not heard of this until now. So this is great.
Totally, totally go check it out. It's cool.
Very cool. Well, nice, man.
Very good. Thank you for letting me pop in while my internet works.
That's great. And best of luck. Tell Comcast they can suck it. All right. Bye.
Exactly.
All right. And that card thing I mentioned, we'll post this all over Twitter and other stuff. So you didn't get that information. You can just go to frogpants.com/store and you'll find the Frog Pants and Family holiday card set. $15 is nothing, man.
That's nothing.
These amazing cards. And dude, listen, Hammaker, is Hammaker in the chat room? Listen,
he was yesterday. I don't see him in there today.
You bastard. Let me tell him. Let me just call him out here if he's not listening. Yeah. His artwork is making us all look like shit. Because he's so good. He's so good. Like, he's a really pro. Talented. We're lucky to even have him acknowledge we exist. He's just that good. So, anyway, do check that out. All right, that's it. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream. On email, you can email us, TheMorningStream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream in Coverville. Is for Ryan there.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, that's for me. What are we doing tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday, so we don't have to pimp anything else yet. All right. Yeah, that's good. We're done, I think. You want to do a little music or something?
Let's do a little music.
Yay!
This one's going out to Cole. Hey there, Scott and Brian. It's your friend Cole from Southern California. About 2 months ago, my girlfriend in nearly 5 years broke up with me. Aww. You guys have met her at BlizzCon 2011 and Hurtacular 2012. Well, sorry. I hope we weren't involved.
Well,
the breakup, I hope we didn't do anything.
She was really cute, too. He was at this year's as well, and he was alone, and I walked up to him and went, "Hey, where's your girlfriend?" And he looked at me in just the saddest eyes.
Aww.
I go, "We broke up." So
I wonder when this email came in.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
The breakup and the week since have been among the worst experiences of my life. She was my best friend, and it has been hard to let her go. Recently, though, I've met a girl who's been making me feel like I'm coming back to life. I don't know where it's all headed, but things may be starting to look up. To mark this, I was hoping Brian would play Escape the Fates cover of Smooth, originally by Santana and Rob Thomas. Despite Scott's consistent mispronunciation of the word picture, I still love the show, though, your friend Cole.
What do I say, pitcher?
Pitcher, yeah.
Picture.
I don't think it's a mispronunciation. I think
it's just a local
colloquialism.
Yeah, you just say a word. Yeah, like pop and soda, whatever, man.
Exactly.
Although I guess pop is not a mispronunciation of soda, but yes, you get my point.
Pitcher.
Yeah. Peacher.
Peacher. He's not saying old fashioned, at least. There's that. All right. So Escape the Fate recorded this version of Smooth for the Punk Goes Pop Volume 2 CD that came out in 2009. Of course, originally by Santana with Matchbox 20's Rob Thomas. Here it is right here.
All right. I'm going to play it. Why is this other stuff up here? Oh.
Let's all go to Burger Chef.
Okay. Let's not do that.
Burger Chef.
Chef. It's Sergeant Pepper's. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
What?
What?
Sergeant Pepper's.
Wait, didn't you give me? Oh, Smooth. It's Smooth. Oh, it's because I put that Bill Cosby thing in front of it.
Right.
Sorry.
Just wanted you to go today.
Shot me in the effing face.
I got shot in the face.
All right, here it is. It's smooth. It goes down smooth, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new show. Bye.
Like 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you whisper and the words melt everyone, but you stay so cool. My Mona Kita, my Spanish all the Mona Lisa. You're my reason for reasons. The step in my groove.
If I want any wise answers from you, I'm going to take you out and get some midnight conversation.
Still don't know what he means.